down to brass tacks. Hello? Good afternoon. You're on the air. Hello.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, welcome.
My name is Richard Paris. I live in Black Rock.
Mm-hmm.
But the same way I personally kiss you the last time. But anyhow, what did cause to say about, sir, I don't know where you all moderators continue to go down with this idea. They have a lady who calls in, and she said that she's Miss Undecided. But I don't think you also try to fool people. Everybody knows that she's decided and where she what she decided. So I don't think it's a caller Miss Undecided. The next thing is that lady. Sir, when I heard her on this phone on your program a while ago, I was shocked.
Why? Because she cusses so much up about
CBC? So much on the other side.
I heard her, but you know one thing? She can't risk out to our faces.
Yeah.
Know, because she knows she's going to be taken on.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
She can go someplace where they're not going to respond. We are going to respond.
Yeah. And say so much thing about brass. That's
don't worry about that.
Brass is one of the worst.
But the more important thing is that the people of Barbados are in a position to discuss the issues. That whether you are a B, a D, or Solutions Barbados, or BIM, or UPP, you are able to call and have your say. And this is about ideas. This is not about the personalities. It's really about the ideas that are there for us to discuss. We have right now this discussion about how we could deal with this whole question of road tax. The first question is whether you believe that the existing system is unfair. If you think it's fair, then there's no need to change it. And if you're going to change it, as is being proposed here by this particular political party, then what are the pros and cons of that particular matter? But is road tax such a big issue when you look at the grand scheme of things in Barbados? I think that what really, really matters here more than anything else is how are we going to deal with the debt? What are the initiatives that are going to be taken to stimulate growth in the Barbados economy? That has been a major headache for us. How are we going to, the policy differences relating to, are you going to have trickle down, or are you, in terms of your economic policy, or are you going to try to stimulate small business and small people? And how are you going to protect yourself from being taken advantage of, so that, you know, in this country, there are a lot of people who will take your money and run, and they believe that government money is money to be taken and run away with it. So that to me, those are significant points. Are we going to the IMF or not? What are we going to do with the state-owned enterprises? That remains a big issue. That people may have to go home. I think most people in this country recognize that. I know the last time we went to the polls, people were given the assurance that people weren't going home and that sort of thing. But after the elections, you saw what normally happens. Those are key issues that we need to talk about. And look at the manifestos from the point of view, especially from the point of view of what they are recommending for growth and development in this country. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, good morning, Ellis.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I've been listening to your program, and there are very interesting points coming out.
Yes.
One thing, though, I must tell you, I am 78 years old. I was a policeman when I was 17 and a half years in Barbados. I spent 2.5 years dealing with that, so I had to. In other words, when you train at the training school, you're supposed to know almost everything about the law, the powers of arrest and all kind of stuff. You have to be quick on your feet, and you have to be a good thinker. You should be. But then after I did medical engineering, I studied overseas. I went to America and worked there. I worked in Canada. And I have a family of about 23 persons who are now resident of my having left in Barbados. So my mother went, she died, my nephews. So I got a whole stream of brilliant young people who would like to come to Barbados and for whom I have come back to Barbados to invest. My investment goes as far back as 1886 in terms of having property in this country. That would be a combination of my wife and I. I lived there in Canada and I decided that I would come back here to do a development, you see. I worked it out, I planned it out, I planned it for about 30 years. And you know, when you're past the age of 76 or even 55 in Barbados, you can't borrow money to invest because nobody believes that you'll live another year. So yeah, dreams are virtually beaten. So I came here a few years ago, set up a project, and I found that in my project, Mr. Ellis, there was a lot of fraud and corruption and collaboration. Our legal system here is virtually corrupt. And I'm making that statement because I have done my paperwork, I have looked at all the documentation, I have looked at the issue of peddling power, I have listened to the issue of research and development. Things pass through the court, somebody can't touch it, they don't want to touch it. And Mr. Ellis, we don't, that's not a call of democracy. I believe that in a democracy, if we believe demos for the people and the rights of the people, that we should have, like researchers, turn every stone to find the origin of a problem. Here, people just look at things. If I have $10 million in assets, by the way, it's nobody's business where my assets are from, except it's criminal. They should not say, let him spend his money. Because you know what? They don't stop Cave Shepherd or Cuddle Catford, not them. They let white people borrow money to invest. But when it comes to the black people, you're not supposed to have great ideas. Your ideas are supposed to be sold to somebody else who will capitalize on it.
Well, you touched this question of corruption. And
yes.
Corruption, you pay a high price for it.
I know.
And that is something that, you know, many people have been pushing for change in this regard.
Yes.
Political parties like to point accusing fingers at each other.
Yes.
And say, oh, well, the other person did this and did that or is doing this or that. We want to move away from the system where they point accusing fingers at each other and where they actually put things in place to give the Barbadian public a greater sense of assurance that this apparent greed, which has been sweeping Caribbean countries, because Barbados is not alone in this.
I know.
But on the question of entrepreneurship, apart from corruption,
yes,
I suggest to you all that you look at all of what is being said. Now, what the Barbados Labour Party is putting before us here is that there will be no more tipping fee. The solid waste haulers, there will be no more tipping fee.
That's a transportation issue.
That is the fee for the removal of garbage.
Right, transport.
Which I think is playing a major role in an upsurge in dumping around this country and may well be part of the reason why so much stuff is turning up in the South Coast Sewerage Project. Okay?
Right.
It may well be. Special locations are to be provided for such businesses as mechanics, auto body workmen, and technicians. That comes under the aesthetics and the environment.
That's correct.
Because there are so many of these people who are set up outside their own homes that are making life difficult for their neighbors. If you've got a little fat at your house or people come to gather at your place, there's no place to park around the house because they have all the parking and, you know, it's unsightly. So special locations are being provided for them.
Right.
Lower taxes, when it comes to manufacturers, they are proposing to lower taxes and operating costs, incentives to go green, eligibility for the National Genius Award of $250,000. So they're trying to stimulate innovation that way. Investment opportunities in the 52-week entertainment calendar and the special economic zones that they are proposing at Six Roads, Bridgetown, Spitestown, and Holdtown. That's what, those are the ideas that they are putting on the table.
Now, Mr. Ellis,
these are the yeah. things that you have to ask them the questions about.
The question here, though, is I'm listening to transport. Now, this is the year 2018. The whole world has gone into digital. If you're talking about looking at transport and collecting fees, people build the apps and the transportation system can monitor your costs and your direction. That is applicable and that is workable and it's here and now. I don't see why there should be a massive headache as to how you collect your money. Everything could be measured, everything could be cost, and there could be a central collection agency. Nobody should be able to hide in the dark. Okay. This is an applicable modern 2019 application that could now work. There's no problem with that.
Okay, we gotta leave you, sir.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you very much for your contribution. You're on the air.
Here. Yes, Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
Yes, what I call Sarah, it ain't nothing too much. That Trinidadian woman, I don't think she had any right joking she mouth in Beijing's business at all. However, she opened her mouth, she always promised smartly. Nothing may do don't be right for her. I feel that she should go to Trinidad and try to run Trinidad and not Barbados.
Well, you know, I think when you listen to people here, you pick up very clearly where their bias is.
True.
The hardest part is to know. I know what to expect when some of my people call, mm-hmm. and she's one of the people that I you know, you can
of
anticipate
course.
That you're going to have to provide some alternative perspective. But the key here is that you don't want a program that is dull and boring by having everybody say the same thing.
Yeah.
You need to have that difference of opinion, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But respectfully.
Yes, she's annoying. Are you hearing
She annoys you? What annoys you about what she says or how she says it? Because
well,
she's always attacking?
But she always with a passion.
Okay.
She always with a blast. Last time I hear she say, Miss Motley say, the next time I address you all, I'll be prime minister. And she always, she got something in she, and she and the other moderator, or CBC, who she's called regular, she does back her a lot too. You see? And
well,
I can't stand people like she ain't even think
about it.
She's not a Beijing.
You don't know
she's
that. You don't
I know
that.
I could tell she's a Beijing by ID card, but she never stringed in berry hair.
Well, okay. You mean, okay, I understand.
I could tell. I can't stand her.
Okay. You know, you can't please everybody, no matter what. Another concept here is this techies heritage. Bridgetown to become a smart city and Barbados a smart country, which will create opportunities for businesses in technology and related disciplines, artists, entertainers, and musicians, increased opportunities for income earning in the cultural industries. There's also talk of new special economic zones at St. Lawrence Gap, Oystens, Old Town, Spicetown, and Bridgetown. Now, remember, the UPP is also talking this language, that we need to go in this direction. I think one can anticipate that the Democratic Labour Party and Solutions Barbados would have a similar approach, that we got to take advantage of the new technologies because we are being left behind. I heard last night that they want to regulate cryptocurrencies so that Barbadians can become more involved in that, but in a way that you don't find yourself exploited and vulnerable, because that's an area that is full of promise, and people make some quick money, but people also make quick losses. So these are some of the new ideas that are on the table as we continue in this particular campaign this year. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello. Hi, David.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, man?
I am well.
I dropped out this morning, but no fault of yours or the producer, I don't think.
God moves in mysterious ways.
Wow, you're so dangerous. David, I want to thank you, though, for the half an hour more on the program. I think it's vital important at this time.
It is.
Yeah,
I think a bit of an error was made the first day, so we corrected that.
Yes. All right, David, let me go. Yesterday, while listening to Surgical Early Business, which I hardly miss. I know that you feature the Prime Minister
and today I did feature the primarily Dr. Maskell speaking about. So there's a balance to that.
Okay? All right. Don't show off. No, you know. But I want to bring my sense that I did not hear Dr. Maskell, right? And I'm sorry that I missed that.
So you thought that I only carried the Prime Minister?
No, I didn't thought so. No, David. No, I know you're wicked, but I don't know that. I didn't think that.
Not that wicked.
No, not at all. Look, I want to bring my 2 cents worth to the counter to what Prime Minister Stewart would have outlined yesterday at Early Business on his second launch, right? On his second launch spot meetings, right? Because if you really look at the meeting of Ms. Motley at Weymouth, and you look at the Democrat Labour Party meeting at the stadium and then at Bay Street, then really spot meetings to compare with Ms. Motley doing across the country and all. Anyhow, Mr. Prime Minister Stewart said, and he lists all of these achievements, I can't fault that, you know. I really can't fault that. He got a good memory, and I know that he laid them out well. He laid them out in order. But what Mr. Stewart, what Prime Minister Stewart forget, this is what he forgets, and this is my counter to that. In 2008, when they take up the range of government, we had a good accomplished amount of buses traversing Barbados streets, and people were complaining, but they was not complaining the way how they're complaining now. They just was complaining that the bus come late, right? But today, even in my neighborhood, which is Wetsham Hall, there's no buses, okay? So, Mr. Stewart, I want you to remember that there's no buses, no playing the routes. There's no garbage collections across Barbados in the way how it used to be in 2008, because I would know up to a complement of at least 33 trucks in 2008 have been playing the routes of our collections in 2008. Today, you're merely down to 6. Not good enough, Mr. Stewart. Mr. Stewart, I want to look also at St. Joseph and St. Thomas in the rural districts, you know, their water supply, the water network that has to reach the residents of St. Thomas and St. Joseph, especially St. Joseph. These people have been dealt a heavy blow, right? Look at the road network, Mr. Stewart, and compare it to 2008 and now, you know, and a few people.
You listen to the speeches of the people who spoke at Bay Street, or you were just listening?
No, I didn't listen.
I don't think after 10 years now, David, yeah,
that the Democrat Labour Party could tell me basically anything that I want to hear. And I want to sum it by this way. Mr. Stewart, look at the South Coast. It's thriving business there on the South Coast, you know. Thriving business, they're booming. Okay? But in 2008, there was no surges flowing in the streets. Nobody was moving from the South Coast. In 2008, people was going in to the South Coast to set down shop, to set up shop, and to make business. Today, I want Mr. Stewart to understand what is happening to the South Coast, all because of careless management.
Okay, we got to move on. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Time for one more call before the program ends today. Hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Hello. Now, I just want to make a comment on this whole issue of debt restructuring.
Yes.
Restructuring a country's debt is not like walking, like a customer can walk in a commercial bank and just ask the bank and pay a fee to restructure the loan. Restructuring, in fact, in order to restructure debt, a country has to put its case to the Paris Club, you see,
yes,
to determine better. And of course,
there are casualties.
And of course, Mr. Yeah. Ellis, you have to put a very good case. And people must remember that these, and we are indebted to the World Bank, the IDB, I think Credit Suisse, other international banks. And all of those institutions look to the IMF. In fact, that is the policeman for many of those institutions. So the IMF will have to be involved. And there will also be conditionalities to restructure.
So, you say all of that to say what?
Oh, I said all of that to say this. In light of what I see there about giving people this and the next and the third, I want to see how that will relate to also this, if you go directly to the IMF or if you go to restructure, the same thing will obtain.
Do you accept, are you one of the Barbadians who believe that the way that we have handled the situation thus far is the best that Barbados can do?
Well, no, I feel that one of the fundamental problems that has faced Barbados down the years is the way how the country has financed the foreign currency deficit. And tell you why. Two things that cause, and I think this is what causing major problems for the country. I'll tell you why. Borrowing substantial debt, mm-hmm. and also selling off assets to earn foreign currency. They have the same kind of repercussion. On the one hand, you have substantial interest, which you have to earn foreign currency to repay. And the second one, you have to earn foreign currency also to repatriate profits to the companies sold off abroad. Now, tell me if that makes a lot of sense for a developing country.
So what would be your
there's a long topic. I can't discuss it here. But I mean, you don't have any time. But I would.
But I want you to come back.
I
should be here on Monday, and if you can, I'd like to continue the conversation with you. Because that is relevant to this discussion. If you say, look, the approach that is being proposed here can't work, then let us discuss what the alternatives are. It's not enough to knock it down.
What I'm saying is that how in the name of the Father can you offer these things when all the... Look, I have a book here in Greece, even in Jamaica last year. You remember that Jamaican bondholders had to forego all interest?
Well, first of all, let me put it to you this way. One of the reasons why we are in this position is because of the money that we lost from the Canadian market, the revenue from the international financial companies and stuff like that. One would expect that you need to do a lot of work to try to recover some of that, all right? Then there's the whole question of creating the climate for confidence. Those people who may be out there waiting for elections to come and go, who've got projects that they want to get started, these foreign direct investment inflows are also a part of it. Please do not behave as though everything else remains static. There are other variables inside there as well, huh? And of course, there's a question of priority. Where are you going to put the accent? And based upon which party is in power, that shifts from point to point and time to time. All right? That's it for today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thank you all for being a part of it. And a special thank you to Dennis Johnson and to Daddy Biggs, who helped me behind the scenes. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.